You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. We're going to get to our wonderful guest, Laura Vandervoort, in just a second. You know, Supergirl from Smallville, V-Wars, my ex-girlfriend from years ago and all that. First of all, we're taking a little break like we do every year. Well, last year was really the first year. But we're going to take, Ryan, we're going to take...
Christmas break.
Yeah, we're going to take the 24th off, which is Christmas Eve. You guys don't want to be listening on Christmas Eve anyway. And then the 31st, New Year's Eve. So those two weeks we're going to take off, but we're going to come back. And also, I want to give Ryan here a little break. Bryce, my producer, who's been working his ass off as well, and Mia, my editor, I want them to give a chance for them to see their family. Just chill out.
Just see anybody else, really.
Anybody but me. Stay away from me. So no podcast for the 24th and 31st, so you guys are aware. We will be back on January 7th, ready to go, baby. Ryan, we're going to be ready to go. By the way, you could still listen to old episodes if you're bored or if you're like want to catch up. You haven't listened to one. We're going to come in at 2020 with a few sweet episodes. Stephen Amell, I'm just going to announce it. I'm just going to say it from Arrow. I mean, Arrow is exploding all over, but you're going to hear much more about his life. And if you're not an Arrow fan, you're still going to love it. Also, two actors from Lord of the Rings are coming on the show in the beginning of the year. Very excited. And also, my producer Bryce and I are working on something in the beginning of the year for a really tasty treat for everybody. So for the new year, you want to stick around to see this. So come January, I believe it's the 7th, we're going to go balls out here. Trust me. Also, and for the holiday, look, if you, you know, those cameo things, I do the cameo thing. So if you want a personalized video from me, you can tell me what to say. I'm a puppet. I also want to thank all of you for your messages about my grandfather Irving's passing. It's been really tough. And I'm staying busy, but reading your messages, it makes me smile. My grandmother was like, oh my God, there's 1,000 messages. I go, look at these things they're saying. And she was just taken aback. I think anybody who read it would be taken aback, but she was so happy and you made her smile. And I really appreciate that. And your loyalty to the show, to me, to my family and friends. Thank you everyone who came to the Roxy a few weeks ago to watch us perform Left on Laurel. And those Stage It, we did a Stage It. So if I ever tell you about a Stage It, we do online performances. So it's like an online, you know, you can go and watch us recording or playing music in my basement pretty much. And we had a whole bunch of great people and prizes given away. I'll let you know when we do it again. But Leah Stubbs, Brandy Edie, Joe Sergeant, Betty Sick, you guys rock. Top bidders. Happy holidays. It's been a good year, Ryan, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been great.
What are you going to do for the new year?
For the new year? You know, I'm going to hang out with you a bunch.
Okay, that's good.
You know, I haven't figured it out.
I appreciate your honesty. Well, you know, look, this has been a challenging year for me and a great year. When I say challenging, you guys know I went away for a while to get my head together, lost my grandfather, who's my best friend, had some shit going on. But I was in a dark place and I got through it. Or, you know what, I'm not going to say I got through it. You guys helped me through it, but I'm still going through it. We all are going through it. We consistently, every day is a new day, and I'm here. You're here, and I really have fallen in love with this podcast. It's given me purpose. There was a woman who came up to me at the last con in England crying and saying how much Inside of You affected her life. You never think you're going to change people's lives when you do anything. You do it because, oh, this is fun, and then you start to realize it might just make an impact on people's lives. So that's cool. So thank you for that. I'm very grateful for you. I've learned a tremendous amount this year. I've learned from my guests. I have learned from Ryan. I have learned mostly from you guys. When you tweet me or message me or email Jess about the podcast, I read them all. Don't think I don't. There's a lot. So if I don't respond all the time, in fact, after this episode today, you're about to listen to Laura Vandervoort, we're going to do a new thing, intros, outros. You know, I'm going to tell you some things that are going on in the beginning. I'm going to tell you what I think about the episode after and read some messages from you guys. So you might want to stick around for that. Lastly, and maybe many of you are doing it and I've talked to you about it a lot, but it's the holidays. And if you aren't following Inside of You, please just take a few seconds on social to follow us at Inside of You Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can catch up on merch, episode highlights, bonus content we have for the week. You know, like those sweet videos I shoot while I'm interviewing folks. Look, it's so important for you guys to subscribe and get your pals and family too. That way I could pay Ryan and Bryce and our kick-ass producer and Cassandra, my publicist, all these people, you know, we do it for free, or they don't do it for free, but you listen to it for free. So now you know why I'm asking you to get more subscribers and all that stuff. But thanks for your loyalty. And I'm just very proud of the guys and gals that work on here on the podcast. Thank you, Jessica. I don't know what I'd do without you. And also, you know, we have a sweet merch store. Go to insideofyoupodcast.com. Tons of cool shit, Left on Laurel shit, band stuff, all that. That's about it. We're going to get into Laura Vandervoort. Remember, we're gone for the next 2 weeks, but you could listen to old episodes. We're back on the 7th with a big episode, couple of doozies. And that's it. I'm going to talk to you after the show. Let's get inside Laura Vandervoort. It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, I wanted to say congrats on your album drop.
Thank you. That's quite kind of you.
Yes.
Did you download it?
No.
Well, you're going to, right?
I mean, with you sitting here, I probably will have to.
You'll like it. I think you'll like it.
No, I'm sure I'll love it. I've heard one of the songs that you had, was your hometown radio, played it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what was that? I think it was Let's Go for a Ride.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, the album, they know about the album. I've talked enough about the album.
You have.
They go, yeah, Left on Laurel. We're already streaming it. Anyway, we're really excited about it. It's been a really good ride.
Yeah, it's great.
Been fun. You do this. You have ideas and things that you want to do in life. Most time people say, I'm going to direct a movie. I'm going to write this. And they never do it. I'm sure I was that guy. And then one day you're like, why don't we just
do it?
And how good does that feel when you actually do something?
Well, even when you directed your movie.
Back in the day,
That was huge. That was a huge undertaking, and you did it, and it was great.
Thank you. What gets in the way, don't you think, is how good it is, people's response to things. That's always what matters, right? It's not what should matter. What should matter is you accomplish something.
Right. You tell a story you want to tell. You're proud of it. You work hard. You work with the people you want to work with. But we always worry about what others will say afterwards, and that shouldn't be the case.
You know, my friend, name drop, I talk about him all the time because I love him, but Dax, he always has a lot of good advice. I think because he's went through so much hell and, faced so much adversity and drugs and all that shit. But he said, you know, when his movie Chips didn't do that well, it just didn't do what they wanted in the box office. And certainly back in the day didn't make, exactly what I wanted and why. And he goes, let me break it down to you, dude. If I look at myself in Detroit, grew up in Michigan, little blonde haired kid. And if I said to him, as like a 10-year-old, he's a 10-year-old boy, I go, hey, how do you feel about directing your own movie in Hollywood and being the lead actor in it? Do you think the kid would give any shit about how successful it was or the money he made? All he thinks immediately is, I'm in a movie? I get to direct it? Wow. It's that inner child that just comes to life. Mm-hmm. And if it's hard to keep that because then it gets in the way. Like, oh, success, money means success. It doesn't. Money means happiness. It doesn't.
Right. And that's one of the things that you've always been great at is not being a child, although you are a child.
Yeah, you know, that's wrong.
You are a child.
I am a child.
But you enjoy just the fact that you get to be in this business and do what you do. You don't care about all that other stuff.
Well, yes.
To a point.
But I do. I do. Even though the goal is to not do that, to just wake up and do something because you love it and not worry about what everybody else is thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because you love it. You want to do it. You walk away and you're not worrying about, I wonder if they thought I was funny. Was I good enough? Does what they say, what they talk about or how they feel about what you did is really, it shouldn't be the be all end all.
No, but it's there.
I know. Well,
it's
I think that drives
there.
Us. That drives us.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, what do you do? I mean, how do you separate them? I mean, I know, look, we have a little history. Why don't we get into that first? Why don't we just the elephants in the room?
Sorry, Ryan.
By the way, yeah, this is Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
I'm here to be a third wheel, apparently.
You're the therapist today.
You could be our therapist.
Oh, Christ.
No, but Laura and I, we met on Smallville, mm-hmm. and we were just friends. I mean, she was dating someone. I was dating someone. There was just, it was very platonic and just cool.
And I will say you were the only cast member to, because I came into the show season 7 and they already had friends and family and did their own things. And none of the cast hung out with me. And Michael's the only one that took me t-shirt shopping. he reached out in that way. And I thought that was really nice because I was the newbie.
Well, thank you. I always feel bad for guest stars coming on shows, especially after established, because there's a family there and you're already, imagine like you walk in, like you're Ryan's girlfriend, you're Amanda.
All right.
First time she's walking into Ryan's family and, you know, everybody's doing their thing. Uncle Joe's, playing ColecoVision. I don't know what you're doing, but you know, everybody's doing their thing. They're loud, they're boisterous. And she walks in. Isn't it nice when Uncle Joe comes over and goes, "Hey, so, just starts talking to her and says, "Oh, let me show you this." Somebody to reach out, because a lot of times people assume like, "Oh yeah, oh, that's the new guest star this week. Great, great. Who cares? It's fine. We don't, it's not that anybody doesn't like you or wasn't."
No, but you're tired. You don't have time to meet a million guest stars every week or every month. So I got it. It was a little scary and strange for me, but you were the one that was like, "Hey, let's go to, was it Cherry Bomb or something in Vancouver?"
Cherry Bomb.
Yeah.
Sounds provocative, but it was one of these cool stores. I tried to franchise. It's a franchise. So I tried to, my friend Tom, "Let's open a Cherry Bomb in LA. I'm like, I think we'd lose money. Like, I've lost on every investment I've ever made. I invested in the furniture warehouse in Vancouver. Remember the furniture warehouse that was across from the Roxy?
No.
These guys are great. Dan, it's still there. Big success story. And they were like, "Hey." And I was always like, "Hey, I want to invest. This is great." And so there's this opportunity in Whistler. They're like, "Hey, here it is. And this is the money." And I'm telling you, this place folded faster than you could eat. I mean, it was like the Millennium Falcon there, and it was gone. And I was like, "Wait a minute, what?" They're like, "I'm so sorry, Rosie, we're gonna get your money back." And I was like, "I can't, how did we lose money that fast?" There was this a whole bunch of discrepancies and things. And he says, "We're gonna get your money back." So it was about 8 months later that my business manager called me, Mark, and goes, "Hey, we got a $2,000 check from the furniture warehouse." I'm like, "Really? $2,000. Well, we're
your
about...
Your agent sounds like Harlan Williams.
We're about, really, Body? We're about $98,000 off." And then every month, $2,000 until I was paid off.
Yeah.
And I really commended them, and it was really sweet that they... Because most investments you lose, you know? But anyway, back to that. Yeah, I thought you were just really sweet and kind and shy. And you do a lot of... You've done, now you're getting lead roles, but you've done a lot of guest stars. You know, I've never done, I don't think, a guest star in my life.
Better than me, I guess.
No, it's not a better thing. I guess I got lucky.
I haven't done a lot. I mean, at Canada, it's different. It's a different industry in Canada, right? So I've done a lot of guest stars growing up.
But I think that's good for nerves, isn't it?
No. It's terrible.
I thought you'd get better at it. Like then in bigger situations, you wouldn't be nervous at all.
No, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but in my case, I don't like going on to a new set and knowing I'm only there for a week and not getting a chance to like know the cast and be a part of the family. It's like being that girlfriend that comes in and no one likes her. Not that they don't like me, but they don't care to get to know me because you're leaving. So it's that weird, you want to invest in the character, but you don't.
But you
really
didn't leave. You ended up being there for the entire season 7.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was cool. They liked you enough.
And 8.
Yeah.
And 9 and 10.
You have a lot of issues that I have.
Tell me about my issues, Michael.
Well, we know about our issues. Like, okay, look, we dated, all right? It took time till you weren't in a relationship. I was in a relationship. We started out as friends, and boom, we started dating, and it was great. And, it didn't end up not working out. You're looking at me and nodding. I mean, who, you know, it's like... I always tell my friend Shira, I'm like, Shira's like, she just didn't even call me back. She doesn't cry at everything. This is just one particular relationship. She's actually really strong now. She's Shira. I stuck up for you.
Hi, Shira.
She doesn't listen to the podcast. She doesn't support me in anything I do. But Shira, she's like, "I don't get it. What do I, why are you on an app and they don't respond?" I'm like, "Listen, man, 99% of the time it doesn't work out. And then if you get married, then 50% of the time you divorce."
Right.
So why not just go have fun and expect it? Like, this is what it is. Let's enjoy it. And if it ends, it ends. It most likely will end.
Your problem. Yeah. I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
I'm giving her bad advice.
I'm not asking for advice.
No, I'm giving her bad advice.
Oh, yes, yes.
Ryan, do you agree with that?
Run that by me one more time.
He's like, "I fell asleep."
I'm still stuck on your Shira impression just from a second ago. It was very sad.
Well, that Shira is awesome, and she's like me. So we're like the two single people who call each other at the wee hours of the night going, "God, what is going on? I am old."
There's a reason you shouldn't be giving her advice then. You know what I mean? I've never dated.
You're always in relationships.
If I go on a date with you, expect 2 years at least.
Well, that's what happened with us.
That's what happened. Because I...
What is that? You just get hooked?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I've never been out and someone said, let's go for a drink, and I have a drink and I never see them again. I've never had one night stand. Like, I've never... Okay. I am a relationship
girl.
Well,
see, maybe that's the problem with you. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm on a date and it went well, so I'll just date this guy for 2 years. And then at the end of 2 years,
I mean, I don't say 2 years. I just keep going.
Well, I mean, if you look back in your relationships and look, sometimes you let the good ones go. Sometimes you're like, oh, fuck, why did I let that one go?
I haven't done that yet, so.
Yeah, yeah. But Ryan, shut up! Please! Anyway, look, it's hard to date in Los Angeles, especially. All my friends in Indiana and my friends in the Midwest are always like, dude, how do you do it, man? It's like, it's got to be hard out there because everybody, you know, first they say, do they only go out with you because, you know, you were on a show or you're this. And I'm like, you know, probably.
Right.
No, I don't think that's true. I think ultimately you
It depends on the person, too. If they're looking to get into the industry, they might be dating you for that reason. You know what I mean? It depends on the level they're at. It's best for you to not date someone in this business. That's my opinion.
It is. It's hard to. It's hard to date someone because they have to be so strong psychologically.
To put up with you.
Well,
yeah.
Put up with me? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They've got
you
to
need
be strong.
So much attention.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing. I have been working on myself a lot, and I feel like what's important is it's a give and take. You know, I always have to be busy. I'm like, not busy, but I'm just, my mind's always working. I have ADD. You have to sort of accept it. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm also very giving and, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Am I?
No, you're.
That was years ago. That was many years ago.
That was many years ago.
Five or six years ago?
Oh my God. Us?
Yeah.
No, more than that. I've dated someone for 5 years. I've been engaged. It's been like 9 years, if not.
Yeah, that was a weird story about the engagement thing.
That was the worst time of my life. I was basically brainwashed.
Well, what happened?
I had no idea.
Well, what happened was I remember, no names, not bringing it up, but I remember somebody, I bought the dude's truck.
Yeah.
And said it was perfect and this and that. And a week later, it was in the shop, and pretty much it was in the shop every week, and it never worked.
Yeah.
And then I find out that you guys are seeing each other.
Yeah,
it was a weird story how it all happened. It was like kind of friends of friends.
Friends of friends should not have introduced us.
Yeah, they're like, hey, are you and Laura broken up? I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. It was odd, but you know.
I didn't know at the time it was bad. You know what I mean? When you're in it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Also, I don't give up on shit, so.
Don't give up on us, baby. We still love. Remember that song? David Soul from Starsky and Hutch sang that.
No one cares.
I really lost my head last night. I know it's awkward. Somebody actually wrote in a tweet once, it's like, he'll break into song and it's just awkward and weird. I'm like, yeah, well, fuck off. Don't listen. It's fucking me. It's what I do.
Yeah.
Then now all of a sudden I have no listeners the next time. All right, here's what happened. We're at a con. And right before we're going to go on stage with you, me, Tom Welling, Kristen Kruk, all from Smallville, some girl goes, did you guys date? And right before they go, it was like this. It was like, yeah, he broke up with me a couple times. He broke up with me three times. And Michael Rosen, I'm like, what the fuck? And I had to walk out and like.
No. I said three times. And I said, every time I left town, he broke up with me. And you were like, that's not how it happened. We have different versions of the story.
Michael Rosen.
And then you went on stage.
Yeah. And, you know, you always F with me. You know, you're always like...
I enjoy it thoroughly.
It is. You know, you always have. And that's the good part of our relationship, which is I like you're a smart ass. And I think you're an amazing person. You really are. You, like, I look at, like, things that you did, like, in the past. Like, you made an Irv shirt and you got me this hockey sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That's with the old timers. It was like Huff and Puff Hockey League. You know, you were really generous and you were really... You know, you loved your family. You always want kids. You always talked about kids. You were so jealous in a way of your sister, Sarah, that you love. And you want, you know, your great aunt to her two kids. And
thanks. Thank you.
So I know a lot.
That's the nicest you've ever been to me.
Is that true?
No, I'm kidding.
Maybe. No. But I was like, you know, you're a great person. And for whatever reason, you know, it didn't work. You know, the timing, where I was, where you were, take over.
I don't know why we didn't work out, but I'm still figuring it. I mean, I'm 35 now. Definitely not where I want to be career-wise and life-wise, but you can't control that stuff, you know? It's a tough business, and it's especially tough to date in this town, like you said. So, yeah, I still want kids. I still want marriage.
Well, you just said something. You said it's you're not where you want to be. You were just on a show, Bitten.
Well, that was a long time ago.
It just ended 2 years ago.
Oh, that was like 3 years ago. Yeah, we did three seasons, and that was the show that broke us up. Because remember, I was here and I got the offer. You probably don't remember. It was nighttime and I was like, I have to decide if I'm going to take this. And you were like, don't take it. And then I was like, fuck you. I'm going to take it.
Well, hang on. This is not fair. This is wrong. You said they're offering me shit money. The script's not even that great. I don't really want to move there. You just gave me all these
cons. I don't think that's the case.
On my life, you said, look, if you would have said, Michael, I love the script. I love the idea. I love the character. It's good. All these things. I would have been like, yes. Think of, who would say no?
Okay, well, to be fair to the audience that liked the show, and I actually ended up really loving it. Oh, okay. They wrote the character, became stronger. You know, like, okay. Let's backtrack on not saying that.
No, I'm not dissing the show. I'm saying that in the beginning you weren't sold.
Yes, I wasn't sure, but I guess I was asking for your advice.
What happens is you say, I want your honest opinion. Don't ever give your honest opinion, Ryan. I want to know, you tell me, am I fat? You are absolute. My mom once said, Michael, I'm your mother. I love you. I know you'll be honest with me. Is my ass fat? Do these jeans make my ass look fat? I go, Mom, your ass makes your ass look fat. Sorry, guys. If I looked at you, Laura, physically, like, I want you to look at me. And if I said, Laura, do I have a big head? Be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a big head. In Spanish, that's yo tengo grande cabeza.
An ego.
No. I. Ryan, get on the mic.
Ryan, I'm so glad you're here.
You're supposed to.
This is just.
What do you feel about this?
I'm just in the middle of, I don't know.
Are you uncomfortable?
A little bit.
Are you?
No, I mean, you guys seem okay with it. I am.
We've gotten to a point where we're fine.
You guys are fine with it. I am new to this. I just, I feel like I have to mediate it for some reason.
No.
We are completely different personalities.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it worked when it did.
Yeah. Well, like right now, there's not a nerve in my body. There's not like any resentment. There's no dislike. There's just like, this is joy. This is fun. To me, this is fun talking to you openly. And I'm not I don't feel weird. If I thought it was going to be weird, like there's some ex-girlfriends I would not have come in here.
Right.
You, I felt like, I like Laura. She's cool. She texts me when Irv was sick.
I've never been an asshole to you.
You should have been in the In Love podcast. In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan. That podcast is more about relationships.
And honestly, I think one of the reasons that we're okay now is we had, the first time we had seen each other in years was in Paris at a convention. Oh, yeah. And I was like, of course, it's like the city of love and I have to see that guy. Because I was still like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then we were fine. And I was like, oh, I enjoy, poking at him.
Yeah, we're still smart asses with each other. That hasn't changed.
I don't have that relationship with anyone else, so I enjoy that.
Yeah, I do too. It was nice. And I remember after
especially
that
on stage, if I can like throw you under the bus, it's great.
And you do constantly.
Yeah,
but I noticed like people would say, dude, is that gonna be weird? I'm like, I don't know. And then after Paris, I go, wasn't weird at all.
Yeah.
I think we're both good sports and we're both a little more mature. You're definitely more mature than I am. All right, let's get into this. So you almost died as a kid, by the way.
I did.
Spina bifida? No. Meningitis.
No, meningitis. Bacterial, yeah.
Now, what does that mean? What happens when you have bacterial meningitis?
Well, the story they tell me, when I was born, my sister was getting her tonsils out and she wasn't supposed to come near me because she had a bacteria. My sister came over to meet me in the hospital and jealous sister coughed on me. While she had this bacteria, I developed bacterial meningitis and I was in the hospital for months and swelling on the brain. I was paralyzed on the left side of my body and they had to drain the liquid from my brain. And I guess, as my mom says, they told her one day that if her temperature doesn't go down, we're going to have to give her this medication of sorts that will either make her blind or deaf. If her temperature goes down, we won't give it to her. And the next morning my temperature dropped and they didn't give me that drug. Otherwise I would be blind or deaf right now. But I had a learning disability from the meningitis my whole life. That's something that I had to like work through myself. There's no cure for that. You just find other ways to. In school, I would just memorize textbooks. I didn't actually fully understand everything. I memorized it so I could get straight A's. So you find your own way. And I think that's why I went into acting, because it was memorization. It was becoming someone that you're not. I was always embarrassed in school. Like, they'd pull me out for testing. I had these surveyors that followed me for years through like elementary school. So yeah, it really fucked with who I was as a kid, but sort of made me who I am now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember stuff that you've told me, but that, and when you say a learning disability, as a kid, I always felt like I was just stupid. I couldn't comprehend things. I'd read things and I just, because of the ADD. And
right.
Like so you could quickly memorize things, but you wouldn't be able to absorb them.
It depends what it was. There was a lot that I was able to fully understand and absorb and was very much into, but things like I couldn't tell time. I didn't understand a clock. Are you looking for a clock right now?
That's right there.
Math, I'm directionally challenged still. Like I still have those
issues. If somebody says left, you'll go right?
No, not like that. But like, is that north or south? It's very different for me. And there are a lot of people who have the same disability where it's not like you're dyslexic, but you have trouble and you flip things. So my whole life, my goal was to appear to be like everyone else.
Right.
Which fucks with you when you're trying to be like everyone else and not yourself. So that now as an adult, I still struggle with people. I don't want them to think of me differently, but at the same time, I want to be who I am. It's a weird thing. It definitely molded me in a way that I'm insecure about stuff. I have social anxiety.
All right, well,
I don't like people.
All right. So here's the thing, though. I feel, though, when you are in something, you're like for instance, if I go to a premiere or if I have to take pictures, I'm uncomfortable. So what I do is I jump into
a character.
Defense mechanism. I'm a character.
Yep.
Just to make myself comfortable. And I'm like, I'm going to do what I can so I can be comfortable, because I'm not going to let this take over.
Yeah.
But there are those times when I'm just like, oh, I get through it and I feel good. Now I'm like, okay, I'm okay now. Do you feel like when you go to a premiere, you do these things, you're like, I don't want to be here, I don't like this. And all of a sudden there's a moment where you're like, oh, I connect with someone, I'm good now. That person saved me in a way. I like them.
I would say for myself, it's similar in that I need to put on a character. Not a character, but I just can't be myself. And I'm not like you, whereas the character is loud and Jesus. Has energy. My character is like, just calmly get through this, put on my like Sasha Fierce version of myself. And then my first thing when I go into an event is like, I want to figure out how to leave as soon as possible.
You want to just get out of there?
Yeah. I want to find the quickest exit. And it doesn't really matter what the event is or, you know, who I know there. It's a job.
Do you feel like you belong?
No. I mean, I don't think anybody does, though.
I have been fighting with this for a long time where I just never feel comfortable with who I am. I never feel like I'm accepted. I never feel. And Joe Latruglio, who's on the show yesterday, he's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's an old friend of mine. He starts saying, you have to stop it, what he does now, because he always felt like he didn't belong. And that's how I've always felt. He's like, but you're here, which means you belong. Stop, get out of your way. It doesn't matter if you're around people that you think are, oh, they're bigger stars or this. You belong where you are.
See, it's crazy to me that you think you don't belong, because
it's crazy for me to think you don't belong.
But I would say I've been very open about that. Like, I'm introverted. I talk about that. Whereas you come across as someone who's comfortable in every situation. You walk in a room, you're the loudest guy. Now I understand that that's your safety mechanism.
I'm more uncomfortable than you.
Which is crazy. I think I shut down and you rev up to survive.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan's nodding like you fucking know. Ryan, talk to me.
No, I shut down too.
Yeah. Are you introverted?
Mm-hmm.
Like right now?
Yeah, you seem like you are.
Like right.
Are you shutting down?
Me? I'm shutting down, yeah.
Are you like C-3PO?
Guys, don't fight.
The odds of living are more than three.
You're like our kid right now.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, fly on the wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You know, I'm very open about my learning disability, about being introverted, about struggling. I mean, being a woman in this industry, all that shit. I'm 35. I haven't figured anything out. I know you have had people on your show, and there are women who say, you know, I finally figured it out. I meditate. I do yoga. Like, I had a vision board. That's great. I've done that, and I still don't know what the fuck I'm
doing. Okay, hang on. All right. First of all, there's nobody on this show that I think that has ever said, I figured it out.
Well,
I
don't, do you know, think what, you're a version
yes,
of
but
that.
I don't think you ever figured it out. I think at the very end, you're hoping for some sort of peace, some sort of understanding or acceptance within yourself that says, you know what? I was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I really tried to help people. I tried to listen. I wasn't always good at it, but I did try. And I got better. I tried to improve myself. I tried to respect this place that I live, this beautiful earth, this universe, whatever you believe. I don't have to get in religion. But like, there's all these things where you go, you know what? I am okay with my life. I was.
Yeah.
And so right now, if I was about to die, I'd say, oh my God, I couldn't say. All I could say is this. If I was dying right now. Watch, I'll die, and then this will be the last thing I said. And it's like, oh my God, how profound.
I'm not saying that people figure it out. I think what you hit on is that we don't figure things out, but we get to a place where we accept where we are and we're happy with that. That's the thing.
Right.
That's...
See, that makes sense.
And I don't think I'm there.
Okay, and maybe give yourself some sort of, what's the word? Ryan. Dude, get the dictionary out. You know, I'm not big with words, dude. I'm not big with words here.
It's got other things to
do. You have to give yourself some... Everybody right now is thinking of the word. They know the word that I'm coming up with. You just have to give yourself a little bit more...
Credit
or yes.
Leeway, little space.
A little... Like say, hey, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. Be good to yourself. So
every day is different.
Every day is different
in this fucking city, which I don't like being in.
Every day is like Sunday. That person who tweeted me is now really out after that one. They're out. But like, if I was on my deathbed right now, God willing, I'm not, I would say, man, I wish I would have loved more. I wish I would have listened more. I know that I was on the right track. I know that I was really trying and it was the beginning of a new me. And boy, I wish I had more time because now I really see the light and I really see what I'm supposed to do. I really see that there is a purpose for me. So that's what I would say right now, which is better than if I was to die maybe a year ago. And
hold on, I got to knock on wood. Stop saying that.
But you know, there's no wood around here. What the luck from luck?
Just
I'm sitting in a wooden chair. But you know, maybe a year ago to sit. What? I don't even know what. Who am I? What am I doing? I don't even. What's your middle name? Diane.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that.
Or did you like look that up last night?
Well, just in case. Did.
Okay. Thank you, Jess.
I knew your middle name's Diane.
Or Jess. How do I spell it?
D-I-A-N. You know, I want to say another N, but that is right. Another N-E. Yeah. Thank you.
My middle name's actually, I was named after...
Diana Ross?
No, a cousin of mine that committed suicide.
Well, that went downhill.
Yep.
Well, your parents really, that's like naming their daughter or their Paris or something, like a big name. It's the opposite effect.
Well, my middle name's Old Yeller, so.
Wait.
No, but I mean, they're naming you, what is he in? It's named after?
A cousin of mine that I never met.
So they're naming you after someone who killed himself.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
But it was in memory of, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. What's also dark is that my last name is Vandervoort. We just actually, it's exciting. My cousin just had a boy, Austin Vandervoort. So he's the first man in the family that's going to finally carry on the name because we've only had women in the family. So totally off topic, but hi, Austin. I hope I meet you soon.
Look at that. I mean, you're 35.
Yeah.
I know you've always wanted kids. You still want kids?
Yes.
I mean, I know you shouldn't even ask. It's different because I know you. So I could say, hey, of course you want kids and all that stuff.
Right.
So, well, you know, you're young still. You are. I'm 47. I'm running out of time.
Not as a man. No, you're
no,
not
no,
running
it's bullshit.
Out of time for children.
Do you realize if I have a child right now, let's say I have a kid and by the time I'm 50, that means when
Wait, how
my,
old are you? 47? Yeah.
But when my kid's 20, just say 20, it's easy. I'm like, I'm 70.
Yeah.
That's like, that's not, is that fair? I guess, I mean, what's fair?
But you're also young at heart, so you would have a lot of fun with them. You'd play with them. You'd run around,
dude,
you know.
Who knows if I'll be able to move around
right,
by then.
That's
I'm already, dude, I'll tell you, I woke up Monday morning, just walked in, and I had a huge fight with my band. You know, we just got into
Left on
it.
Laura.
Yeah, Left on Laura might be our first
album's
and only
available.
Album, folks. Album's available everywhere. You know, I had been having problems with my upper back. I played some softball and then tennis, and then, I'm just like trying to, I'm getting back in shape. And then I woke up Monday. I couldn't get out of bed. I was like Frankenstein. I sat in my massage chair. I have a massage chair for like 8 years now. It's the same one. I always feel bad now because Ryan Gosling.
Both beautiful Canadian men.
Beautiful men. He in this movie, he had a massage chair and everybody laughed like, oh, how cheesy. And I was like, oh my God, I have a massage chair. I remember thinking that when I watched the movie. And I'm like, but I've had 7 back surgeries. I need this fucking thing. Anyway, so yes, getting old does suck. And living in pain sucks. And that's one thing you've been pretty good at. You might have had some shit going on when you were young, but you're a healthy woman. You know, knock on wood, and I look at you and you do have a great career. You do have a great Eddie K. Kill career. You do. You're the lead role in stuff. You were in V. You were in Smallville. You had a 3-episode arc on Supergirl. I think we forget.
I have a new Netflix show coming out.
You have a new Netflix show coming out.
I have a movie coming out.
You produced and starred in a movie with your Pinson.
Gordon Pinson, yeah.
Canadian actor.
He's a legend in Canada.
Right. And then the movie's called
Age of Dysphoria.
Dysphoria. That was pretty good, right?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I'm not looking at my notes.
You did your research.
I don't have my notes. Yeah. I don't ever look at my notes. I just kind of skimmed stuff and then
I've been wanting to work with Gordon Pinson since I was 12. He was my mentor and I'd never worked with him. He's 88 now. So I developed a movie really with the goal of just working with Gordon. And it's a beautiful film. We're really proud of it.
Please go see that, guys. She worked really hard on it, and she's been talking about it for a while. And it's
annoying,
important.
Michael.
No,
it's a lot about
it doesn't
him.
Annoy me. And what I'm saying, if you just listen to this conversation right now, if you just hear yourself, you know, because I'm dwelling on what you said about 8 minutes ago.
What did I say?
You said, you know, I'm not where I want to be in my career. I'm not where I want to be this. If you just take a step back. Just take a fucking step. And when I speak to you, it's like I'm looking in a mirror because I need to do this. Ryan, mm-hmm. You need to do this. No matter where we are, where you are, you're where you're supposed to be. Don't forget to, like, I'm telling myself this and telling everybody out there, look, guys, don't forget to live in the moment. You're not your work. When you work, you work. And if you just are always absorbed with what else am I going to get? How much money can I get? You're never going to live in the moment. Life is going past you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you, proverbially.
No, I understand. I understand. For me, as a Canadian living in Los Angeles, it's hard for me to live here. I don't know if it's the same for you because you're not from here, but you've been here longer than I have. I moved here to work and this entire city is all this industry and there's no escape from it. When I landed, I went to Sammy's camera to print a picture of my beautiful dog. And there's 3 actors behind me talking about everything that they've booked. And that's great. But I don't want to hear about it when I'm just in my, like, you know what I mean? It's that constant reminder.
Go to the beach. Go on a hike. You don't have to hear these people. But there's always going to be people around.
I know. But I'm just saying in Toronto, it's a totally different.
Do you want to go back to Toronto?
I'm going to move back. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, I am.
Now you're dating someone. I know we're not going to talk about that. We're not. I know. We're not. Where is he from?
From LA.
He's from LA.
Yeah.
So he's aware of that you want to go back to Toronto.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Ryan. Now, Ryan, how old
are
you?
It's really hot in here.
Ronnie.
Ronnie will be here at the ones and twos, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie.
Ryan's 31. He's 4 years younger. Now, I'm not saying this because you're not ungrateful, because you are grateful. Ryan is extraordinarily talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny. He can sing. He's always working. He's editing. He's doing comedy. He's doing everything. Now, he's engineering my show right now. Do you think he's hit the peak of his life? Do you think this is what he wants to do for his life? I wish it was. I wish that the show would get so big that I could pay him so much money that Ryan would just love working with me every day and we'd be the next Kevin and Bean. But I know in my heart, Ryan would love to get a show. He would love to get a movie. And that's what he's going for. Now, Ryan, are you able to sit there and take a moment and go, hey, I know what I need to do. This is not what I want to do right now, or I'm just going to enjoy. Can you enjoy things in the moment?
Well, you don't know this isn't the pinnacle of what I wanted to do.
Could you imagine? I've always wanted to work. All of a sudden, I look on the internet, it's like, I just want to work for Michael Rosenbaum.
How do I do this?
I hope someday he has a podcast that I could.
I was playing a long game.
I hope his other engineer could quit.
No, I mean, honestly, this has been like an interesting transitionary year for me. I sort of got opened up, like the company I was working for went totally bankrupt. And so then I've sort of had a year of self-reflection and just sort of needed to pick up some gigs. And Michael was kind enough to let me, you know, do this while I continue to work on other stuff. And it's fun.
Does he annoy you?
Well, now. No, it's fine.
Is that a no or no?
I'm sure I annoy everybody.
No. No, I really enjoy this. This has been a lot of fun.
It is fun. I love having you here. And, you know, it wasn't one of those things where you just said something like, Michael, you know, gave me this opportunity. The reason I wanted him to be here is because, first of all, it happened. I do these art night. It's this therapeutic thing that my friends come over and we just have art night. So Ryan started coming with Amanda, his girlfriend, and all my friends. And but by the way, I've known Ryan for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liked Ryan. And then I was like, fuck, I need an engineer. And did you mention it or how did it happen?
Amanda might have ushered me towards it because she's good about that.
Yeah, I think she said something like, well, if you need an engineer or something, Ryan, I go, Ryan, do you want to do that? You're like, sure. So I go, fuck yeah, let's do it. And it was just like that. And within a week, Ryan was learning how to do it. And he's done like 7 episodes already.
Wow. So had you done a lot of this before then or you were?
Yeah, I'd done this before.
So you weren't necessarily learning as you went on this.
I mean, this is sort of a different format than I'm used to.
Right.
But it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. But, you know, the cool thing is Ryan is like, hey, this just happened and I'm enjoying this and it's fun and I'm learning a lot. And who knows what will happen after this? Like I said, I'm definitely one of those, you know, I took that Enneagram and you find out what you are. You should take an Enneagram. Everybody should. I've talked about it, I think, before. But it tells you what you are. You just be honest with all the questions. And I'm a helper, I'm a loyalist, and I'm an enthusiast. And so a helper, it's not that I want to help, but to me, I'm like, fuck, not only do I want to succeed in this podcast to get bigger and bigger, but man, what if this was a full-time job for Ryan and I can hang out with him all the time, or somebody buys it and inside of you's on TV and Ryan's my fucking Ed McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm his Ed McMahon. You're always hoping things work.
Yeah.
You know, what works for you? What are you like going, you know what, Laura, good for you. I'm proud of you. And I'm good with this.
That's a heavy question.
It's not that hard.
Well,
no, it is hard. I know.
My family is the best part of my life for sure. I'm very close with them. That's a tough question for someone who doesn't feel like they figured it out yet. But I am proud of what I've done. I've started off as a kid doing in this business, and I had to grow up really quickly because I wanted to match the adults on set. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be memorized and professional. But one thing that I really wish I had done was enjoyed more of my childhood because I took it so seriously. I didn't start enjoying what I do for a living probably until 6 years ago. So now I'm learning to enjoy it and to not try to just like be perfect. Like I enjoyed Smallville. I enjoyed moments of it, but the whole time I was like, don't fuck up. Don't get fired.
To be perfect. I have to be great. They have to like me.
Yeah. And I was playing Supergirl. Like there was a lot of people that wanted specific things from me. And not just the producers, the audience. Like I wanted to be that person. Like you and Tom wanted to be those characters perfectly for that audience, but also have your own spin on it. And I think I struggled with that pressure. I was 17. So 18.
You know, when we dated, I felt like, because I'm such a kid, I saw you open up and have fun. Mm-hmm. I think you were learning how to have fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And there's a weird part of me that's like, if I'm truly laughing or smiling, I feel like I'm not allowed to do this. Like I have to. That's why I started drinking.
Are you drinking now?
Yeah.
I didn't
really drink before. And there was no reason that I didn't do it other than I wanted to be in control. And now it's, you know, I'll have sake or tequila.
Oh, so you're not an alcoholic.
No. Okay. Like I'll have a drink and that allows me to, you know, I'm allowed to have fun. I'm allowed to enjoy this because I didn't really know how to do that.
I like this conversation. I didn't really know exactly where it would go or what to do. But I like that you're opening up. I like that that's just a great quality is being vulnerable. And I'm doing that. This show has given me that opportunity. But you also have to give yourself that opportunity, whatever that is, to be vulnerable. My therapist said, I want you to just feel. I want you to be vulnerable. I want you to feel. I want you to love. I want you to, and it was just like, what? What do you mean? So the other night I'm watching a movie. I have horror nights with my friends, as you know. And there's this movie. And I got emotional at the end. And all these other guys are kind of like laughing or talking or whatever. And Rob's like, Rosenbaum's crying again. And he was just kidding. But I was like, you guys aren't? That's a really sweet moment. They both lost their mother. All these kids died. I know it sounds horrible, but like I was a little emotional. I wasn't bawling, but I'm allowing myself. I used to like right when I felt that, you know, that feeling where it hits your nose mm-hmm, and right in between mm-hmm. your eyes, that first, that like little beginnings of like
the tingling,
that like I could cry thing. Yeah. But now I'm like, I used to be like, stop, go other way. And then you're out of it.
You're allowing it to come out.
But I just want to embrace moments where I could just feel, where I could let it go. In fact, I said to my therapist, can I like watch a sad movie once in a while and cry just to get cries out? I felt like I was 8 years old. She's like, yes, but please don't do it every day. So I go, she goes, well, what movie? I go, I know right now.
What movie would make you cry?
There's two, when Hobson dies in the movie Arthur, you know, and that's his dad. That's always really been his dad, even though it's not his dad. It's his, you know, somebody who's at the mansion who takes care of Butler, you know, and you know, it's like, it's you never see him get emotional. And they both sort of are a little emotional, like they know this is the end. Mm-hmm. That moment. And then there's a couple of moments in Rocky. Do you cry a lot?
Yeah. Yep.
You do?
Yeah.
How often?
Lately? Like every day?
What makes you cry?
Being alone. What makes you cry?
You're deflecting, aren't you?
Yeah. Listen, I had a massage last night, and I don't know if I ever introduced you to this woman, but I think you should use her. Tom uses her now. I introduced her to Tom, Nicole Lazinger. We'll talk about that after.
Plug.
She does Reiki as well. But I had her over last night and we were talking about meditation. I said, I've never known how to do it. I'm either going to fall asleep or I can't shut this off. And I don't want to sit alone with what's going on in here, my mind. She said, well, how do you tap into emotions for work? Like there must be a meditation there. I said, no, literally if I have an experience, I put it in a box and that's that box for when I need to act that way on camera. Mm. These are my tear boxes. These are my happy, joyful boxes. She's like, so meditation is opening up all of those boxes at once and just feeling it. And so that's what you're reminding me of is just like your therapist said, let it happen. Like I've never watched The Notebook because I don't want to deal with those emotions.
Did you watch it, Ryan?
Yeah, I've seen it. Of course.
Did you cry?
No.
What? Dude, I was Ball State University. I kept thinking of my grandparents. What makes you cry? What movie did you cry from?
Don't
say Blade Runner.
No, like Coco.
Remember Coco, the I Pixar? Cried.
God.
Now come to think of it, I cry a lot. I don't cry a lot, but that made me cry. Up. You didn't see Up?
Oh, of course.
Dude, Ball.
Also, there's just a lot of songs on the radio now. If you relate to it. Like for me, crying when I'm driving.
So you do cry a lot. You're in your head. You don't like being alone. That's what it is. You do not like being alone.
I like being physically alone for a couple days because I'm an introvert and I need my space and I like my routine. But in life, I need to be connected to someone or family. So LA is a very like, I have a place here that I bought. I live by myself. My dog's not here right now. So walking in the door to quiet was nice for a second. And then it's like hell. You know what I mean? I'm sure you're the same way. You always have to have something going on.
You know what you need?
A parakeet.
Again, this isn't me giving advice. Although it sort of is because my advice is, you know what my advice was? The best advice somebody gave me and I still haven't conquered it yet. My psychiatrist looked at me, this old guy with a beard. Beautiful man. The first time I've ever felt safe with someone. And I remember the first 8 sessions, he's like, you're very, this is difficult. It it's not that cut and dry with you. It is. There's a lot of things going on. You got the child. You got this. We're getting there. Just bear with me. We're going to get there. We're going to find, you know, and it was that thing where he's very honest. It wasn't like, okay. And then he said something like in the last two sessions, you know what you need? He goes, Michael, all of this stuff. I'm going to share this. This guy is $1,000 a day. Okay. It's expensive as shit. I mean, thank God I somehow could afford it. But I know that I needed to go to the best. I know that I needed to really break through and have breakthroughs.
It's your life.
And
it's
I'm the investment, the most important investment. No, nothing matters. If I'm happy and fulfilled and have purpose and feel these things, I'd rather be, if somebody said, you're broke, fucking.
It's not a furniture store that you're investing in that goes under. It's yourself.
1,000,000%.
That's 100% worth it.
He says, I want you to be in love. I want you to love. I want you to. The hardest part, Michael, though, he said, is for you to accept love, that you're worthy of being loved. And it was really like, as you guys are looking at me, I'm sure Ryan's looking down. He doesn't want.
He's uncomfortable.
But you know what? He was, because if you think about it, you're like, what? That's so simple.
It's not.
How could I? But how is he so right with something so simple? This is what he gave me. This is the therapy. And the same day, I had another session with this other woman, and she goes, I think once you really fall in love and allow yourself to be loved, and it's going to be very difficult. I go, wait a minute. Are you talking to Dr. Tesler? Are you guys? She said, what? No. What are you talking about? I go, he said the same thing. He goes, well, he also said all this stuff right now is bullshit. It's great. You're in movies. You have a podcast. You have this. You're writing scripts. You have a great life, whatever. But all that stuff, it's all bullshit. Do you know what isn't bullshit? What human beings need is we need love. We want to be loved. We want to feel loved. We want to feel safe. We want to be in love and to love. And that is the most, I think you will thrive. If you could allow, and it will be difficult because you'll look for things. I don't know. Look, he said, there are red flags. And those red flags, oh, this person's an alcoholic. Oh, this person's a drug addict. Or, oh, this person is a thief. Whatever it is, those are red flags.
Those things in one person.
Right.
Experienced.
But if it's things like, oh, her toe's bigger than the other, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I think you're really picky.
Because you're looking, he says, I'm looking at myself.
Right.
If you really enjoy someone and you really trust them and you feel safe, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I think being alone, and by the way, I did something that was a test to myself. I tried to be alone a lot. I tried to not always work, and I started to become more of a hermit. I noticed that the depression got worse and the anxiety got worse, and I couldn't understand it. It's like, are you that fucked up that you can't be alone, dude? And the reality is that being alone is not always a good thing. And if you don't have structure in your life, if you don't have routine in your life, not you or you, Ryan, all of us will go fucking bananas. Mm-hmm. If you wake up and go, what am I going to do today? You'll end up doing nothing.
That's
you
my
won't
worst
feel
nightmare.
Fulfilled. You'll be depressed. So what I do on Sundays, I plan the week out. Here's my calendar. If you look in my office, you're going to see that I'm crazy. People will go, why do you have three calendars? Even Jess is like, what are you doing? I have a little one for the week. I have a bigger one chalkboard for the month. And I have my other one that if I have to look in the car of what I'm doing. So I always know what's going on and I structure it. Hey, I don't have any podcasts this week. I should book a podcast. I should make sure because I'm ahead of the game. I have like 8 or 10 episodes. You know what? You're going to work out on this day. You know what? You're going to set up a meeting and talk about this animated series. You know what? You are going to meditate every day of your fucking life. You are going to do, and when you have structure and routine, which I just didn't, I let all that go, you'll fucking go bananas.
Yeah.
Do you have structure?
I'm same as you. I make sure that I have it.
Because you'll go bananas.
Yeah. Especially being here, if I'm not busy working, I know I'm taking meetings. I'm trying to develop 3 films right now. So I make sure there's a balance, you know, working out, hiking with friends, all of that stuff. But there, you know, nighttime, you're by yourself and that's the time that you reflect on your day and that can go either way.
Is your career so important to you where you want to act for the rest of your life? Or could you live a simple life? Could you honestly, someone said, let's go move to a small town or whatever and just figure it out and get away from everything? Or are you someone that just needs, you love acting, you love all this, you have to do this?
I would say it's 50-50. I love to get away and escape this, but there's a part of me that this is all that I've ever done. This, I've acted my whole life. So I wouldn't say that I love acting. I love being busy and being productive and developing and creating projects. So I'm 50-50. I could move away to a small town and never do this again, but I might drive myself crazy unless I find another passion that feels productive every day. Because I can't even go on vacation for more than 2 days and chill the F out because I start going, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Oh, I have this idea. I should take that meeting. You know, I think similar to you, we have to force ourselves to take that time and then can't do a lot of that because it's also not healthy.
You know, I noticed I was doing my friend Rob's birthday. It was his 40th birthday. Happy birthday, Danson. I was at his little party last night, a small gathering. And I know some emails came up and, you know, I was at the dinner table and everybody's kind of talking and I kind of started looking at my phone. And I was like, oh, I got to respond to that. I got to respond to that. And then I stopped about 5 minutes in and I go, this is your best friend's birthday. This is a person who makes your life better.
Mm-hmm.
Why get off the fucking phone. It's not important. Your agent isn't saying they need to know right this fucking second about nothing is that important. What's important are memories, connections, mm-hmm. love. And that's what I'm working on. I'm working on all these little things like, God, the phone. Isn't it amazing what the phone can do? If we didn't have these cell phones, and by the way, they're great in so many ways because I could talk to my grandparents. But God bless, man, if we didn't have these, we're always on them.
Yeah.
From the time we wake up to the time we get. So I'm trying to eliminate as much as I can.
It should not be the first thing you look at in the morning or the last thing you look at night.
It's not in the morning. I've done that. I fixed that. I do not look at my phone till an hour in after I do all my chores and all that stuff. But at night, I've got to stop that. I was reading for a while. I got to go back to reading. Phone goes off at 10, done.
I was told that there, and I have to look into it, on the iPhone, there's the ability to, at a certain time, your blue light on your phone can turn off.
I tried that.
So if you do look at your phone, you're not stimulated by the blue light.
I think everybody knows that.
Okay, well, that's new to me.
I'm just fucking with you. Do you take any kind of medication for depression or anxiety or anything?
No. Nope, never.
Never have?
I tried when I first moved to LA, depression medication didn't work for me because I was like a zombie. I couldn't memorize my auditions. I just felt like I wasn't on it. So I stopped that. I've taken nothing except tequila shots sometimes.
Sometimes a tequila shot, as long as it's not like five every night.
But that's not true. I've done the CBD pens.
This has been great. Look, what's going on right now?
With work,
you're developing a lot of stuff. But like what's important to you that you're working on right now, or that you want to get going, or that you have the Netflix series.
So yeah, the Netflix series V-Wars.
V-Wars. What's that about?
Vampires.
Vampires again.
Again, I've never done vampires. This is a new thing.
What was bitten?
Werewolves.
Werewolves. Fuck. Remember what we do in the shadows? We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Yes.
Because he was swearing. Yeah. So that's fun. You're going to be a vampire.
Well, I can't say if I am or I'm not one at this point.
That's true.
And
who's in it? Who's in it? Anybody I know?
Ian Somerhalder, Adrian Holmes.
Dude. All right. Hang on a second.
Who was on Smallville?
Yeah. Right? I love Adrian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adrian
hang on.
Awesome. First time I worked with Adrian was like 9 years ago on a movie called Damage.
I love Adrian.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's fantastic. He's
gotta give him my love.
He's number two on that show.
What are you?
I'm not going to say.
Do you realize how big that show is going to be?
I hope it does well.
Wait. Ian Somerhalder has such a huge following. He's a nice guy, but he has billions of followers.
Mm-hmm.
This show is going to get seen. You're going to go to conventions and people are going to mob you. That's just the reality. I'm telling you, when this comes out, I'm just, remember this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just vampires. He did Vampire Diaries. And no, it's true.
That brings me back to conventions when you make the signer do the diarrhea over and over again. Have you seen him do that?
Tell the audience about that.
It's the most annoying thing.
You love it. You know what? I do it for Tom. Tom loves it.
Tom loves it.
And the fans love it. And
Tom loves us arguing.
And the hearing impaired love it.
Wait. Okay. So there's always an interpreter or signer on stage when we're doing conventions. And I think the first time you did it, it was funny. He repeated diarrhea over and over again. So she had to keep doing that symbol and everyone thought it was great. And then he's done it at every convention.
Diarrhea, diarrhea. And she's just doing that nonverbal. Diarrhea, diarrhea, hands whipping down. And the whole crowd's just loving it.
The first time Kristen did a convention with you and she texted me after and I was like, did you survive? She was like, oh my God, the diarrhea thing. I mean, we all think it's funny. But remember the last time you did it, I was like, find new material. You know,
yeah,
but people love you. We love you. You know, you entertain us. Thank God you take over the Q&As because Tom and I couldn't do it without you.
I love that. You know what I love mostly about Tom is that, you know, a lot of actors, every time I did an interview with another actor for a show or a movie, they'd always, I could tell they feel like they're being upstaged because I just go on and I could tell they don't like it. And it makes me uncomfortable, which makes me then not want to be myself. But when I'm with Tom, he says, fucking do your thing, dude. Fucking do it.
Yeah.
Fucking do it. And there's some, I could tell some people are like, oh, he's upstaging me. I'm not meaning to. I'm just having fucking fun.
Well, okay. So can I just refer back to what we talked to at the beginning of this podcast? You said you're uncomfortable with those things. So you put on your personality.
Right.
But then you just said, I'm being myself up there. People just need to be okay with
that. No, Q&As are different.
They are.
Q&As are different because when you're in a convention, the people are there to see you. So it's not uncomfortable because they're there to see you. You know why you're there. But when you go to like an event or something and there's a bunch of people you don't know and you're like, oh, I don't know. What am I supposed to? But immediately when I'm on stage, like Michael Rosenbaum, they are asking me questions and I am going to run with it.
Yeah. And I don't feel like you're upstaging at all. Like Tom and I love that you do that because we can just laugh and like watch the show every time. But there are moments where, you know, for instance, I wanted to talk about Age of Dysphoria or V Wars and like the convention or the panel is over. I think the last one we were at and we were getting up to walk away and I was like, fuck it. And I grabbed the mic. I'm like, and then I just said the things that I wanted to talk about within like 2 minutes.
You know what though? Next time we do one together.
You're also great when I don't get any questions because everyone loves you and Tom, and I completely understand that. I'm lucky that I get to do this with you guys because I only did a couple seasons, but you're really great about asking the audience to ask me questions,
always.
Which I appreciate.
Always, because I think they really do want to hear it. They get caught up, but I'm like, you know, Laura did this, or Laura what do you think? I always
and that always means a lot to me because there will be times at panels that I don't say a lot, and I'm okay with that because I'm a fan. I was a fan of Smallville before I was on it. I want to hear what you guys have to say, and you know, you're really nice to have the audience remember that I'm sitting there.
Well, thank you. You know, Tom and I are doing this thing.
I know.
I came up with this idea called Smallville Nights.
I saw.
And so it's just Tom and I, and we do this, I can't tell you, but it's at night after the convention's over and we do this hour thing. I'll tell you afterwards what we do, but it's unlike anything we do at the Q&As. There's some things that we do that will never be done and we don't want any cameras or video or you'll never come back to one of these things again. So it's a moment that you'll remember and you'll have fun and it's like Oh, I was going to ask you this. I know now it's a little space in between, but you know, you worked with Allison.
Have you talked about this on your podcast?
A little bit, not a lot, but what was your relationship with her? And did you when people ask me, I'm like, you know, I just thought she was a really sweet girl who needed attention like every actor. And, but she, you know, who would ever known this?
Right.
You know, so you don't ever, I never expected anything, but I'm just wondering if you saw anything or if you noticed like, that's weird or that makes sense.
I didn't know her. I rarely worked with her. She rarely talked to me.
Did she ever ask you to come join Nexium?
Yes.
She did?
Yeah.
Is it Nexium or Nexus?
Nexium.
Nexus is the thing you get into the country with.
Nexium. Yeah, that wasn't the name of it when I had just moved to LA and she, for someone who didn't talk to me ever, FaceTimed me and said they had an organization of women. It was a retreat, you know, it's support. It's because I didn't know any. I knew you. You were the only person I knew in Los Angeles. And it sounded strange and it was also expensive and I didn't have the money and I didn't end up doing it. And that's what it was. And I think there was a part of me that was like, she was willing. She asked me, she knew what was happening. Although I hear it became that later, but the fact that she was like, oh, you're lonely and new, come on over.
So she felt like she felt your vulnerability?
Yeah. And I don't know if at the time.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. It could have genuinely been, let's read books and talk about them. And
were you considering it at that point?
No.
I mean, because you thought maybe it was retreat. There was no part in you that thought, maybe this will help me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I just couldn't afford to do it.
So if you could afford it, you probably would have gone.
Probably would have gone. Thank God I was broke.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
But I was surprised. I was surprised. She's a very smart woman. That's one thing I knew about her. She was very smart.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't understand.
I don't think anybody will understand. Sometimes you see things that happen in the world and you're like, why? What? This just doesn't add up. But when it comes down to it, I think, how well do you really know someone? I mean, I'm on Smallville for 7 years, and I think I got to know Tom when he came on the podcast the very first time.
Right, I was going
to
say.
And that's when we started just talking about a lot of, because we always laughed. All you wanted to do on set was laugh, but to connect, to really, you know. And Kristen would come into town after the Smallville was over, and we'd have dinner. Mm-hmm. And we start to get to know each other.
Yeah.
And you, after Smallville, we'd start to get to know each other.
In a different
way. When you're on a show, it's just sort of like, it's not like it's fake, but it's just not, real.
I understand what you're saying. You know what I mean? It's yes. But I mean, it's the same thing for me. Erica, I've become close with in the past few years. Kristen, same thing. Tom and his fiance and
Jesse.
Are you going to the wedding?
I'm in it.
Oh, congratulations.
No, I'm not in it.
I am.
I'm just showing up. Are you really?
Yeah.
You fuck.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
Yeah, I'm, yeah.
But I didn't get to know them. And we went to Cabo and I got to know Tom in that environment where he was just loose and
drunk and yes, saying boisterous things.
Like, oh my God, the loudest guy. He like jumped a giant horse statue. I was I've never
seen
this guy.
I'm like his little brother sometimes. I'm just like, Tom, cut it out. Where he's always telling me to cut it out. So yeah, we are. We're like brothers.
Yeah, you guys are great together.
Well, look, I had a blast. First of all, I cannot thank you enough for being so open.
Yeah.
This is the most I talked to Ryan too, but it was warranted. It felt comfortable. And Ryan, I think I'd like to talk to you more during interviews if other people are cool with it.
Sure.
It's are you comfortable open. With that?
Yeah. I mean, but it's mostly about the two of you guys. I'm just here. I get a microphone, which is fun.
Until a year later, he's like, my agent will call you my lawyer because I I want 25%.
Until my name's on the podcast anywhere, but it's Inside You with Michael
Rosenbaum. Inside You with Michael Rosenbaum. Featuring Quiet Ryan. thank you for allowing me to be inside of you. That was her using the CBD on Common Apothecary, and it sounded like a
perfect
fart.
Timing.
That was perfect. Rub it all over your back and all that
really
stuff.
Good.
You guys, I'm sure you've heard me talk about it, but it's great stuff. And hey, what's your handles?
Twitter, Vandykins22, and Instagram, Super Vandy. Vandykins is a nickname that Patrick Warburton gave me, and that's how that started.
Vandykins, I bet he's like this. He's like, Laura, how are you? You know, Patrick Warburton, doesn't he kind of do that thing?
Yeah.
So,
Vandykins. Well, he's Patty Warbucks.
Patty Warbucks. Did he name himself that?
I don't know.
Probably.
That's what I called him.
Can you get him on the show?
Actually, there's someone I think I could get on the show that you'd like. We'll talk about it later.
Look, this has been great. Take your mug. Take your CBD. We're going to see each other at a con soon. Guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. Laura Vandervoort, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you.
You're welcome.
This has been really fun. All right, guys. So what'd you think of the episode? We're going to have a thing where, you know, I want you to tweet. I want you to let me know what you think. And if you have any questions or things you want me to ask guests in particular, it doesn't matter about the guest as much as we like to surprise you with a guest. And even if you don't know them, obviously, you listen anyway. And that's why I love you. And that's why I'm still doing this, although I'd still do it because I love doing it. But this episode with Laura was interesting. And it's always on the other podcast I have, In Love with Chris Sullivan and Michael Rosenbaum, we had my ex-girlfriend on Andrea Bogart. And it was really interesting. She brought her child and we talked about why it didn't work and who I was. And I was really vulnerable. And this podcast, having Laura on, we were both going through our own shit. And she acknowledges it. You know, she talks about almost dying as a child, her parents and just working. And, you know, I think she opens up more so than I think she would have when we dated, which is telling. And I think I'm the same way. I think we're both in different places. And I think that's just a maturity thing. Maybe not with me, but I think that, you know, as we grow and you start to realize that vulnerability is good, and people seeing emotions, that's actually healthy. Getting rid of bad habits, I think that's the big thing. And so this podcast was really nice. And, you know, when my grandpa died, Laura texted me immediately, and she says, if you need anything. And I know she meant it. She met Irv. She loved Irv. And I'm glad that we've, from doing these conventions, Laura and I have been able to be friends again. And it's not like we hang out, but it's nice to see her and goof off and just be friends. And that, I think that shows a maturity. I'm going to read some of these messages from the message board. You can go to hello@insideofyoupodcast.com, or you could tweet me and Instagram me. And so this is part of the outro for what we're doing now. I just want to read you some of these questions. Okay. Hi, Michael. This comes from Lizanne. She's an actor, writer, storyteller. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I felt compelled to write in after listening to your interviews with Andy McDowell and Jamie King. Whether you ever read this random email or not, I just felt like I had to reach out and tell you how amazing I think the show is. You and your team have created something quite special. Inside of You is one of the most honest podcasts I've ever heard. Yes, it's therapy for you and your guests, but also for us as listeners. Amen, Lizanne. When you and Andy were talking about her experience with Bill Murray and the idea that she merely wanted to please him, it really hit a chord. Like wanting to please your father, is how I think you put it. I'm still at the beginning of my acting career, 5 years in. I recently worked opposite a comedic legend. To hear the two of you speak about something that felt similar to my own experience was quite comforting. Sometimes you just want to know you're doing a good job. Jamie's interview, she says, when you both spoke about feeling safe, about meditation, about your own personal journey to connecting to a higher power and how having a routine helps when it comes to battling depression, it was so deeply refreshing to hear. It was just a lovely reminder to me that in order to be of service to others, you have to take care of yourself first. You're making a difference in the world by merely being honest about every aspect of this life. So thank you. Thank you for putting everything you've got into this podcast. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you. I'm blessed. I'm grateful that it helped you in some way. Jonathan. Hey, Rosie. Just want to let you know how much I appreciate you and your podcast. Been listening for a couple months now, and it's seriously changed my life. Being able to hear so many of these people I find to be very successful and hear how they're going through or have been through so many of the same things I'm going through is amazing to me. I have a bipolar mom, an alcoholic dad, and to hear you talk to people that have gone through the same things and how they dealt with it helps so much. You and Zach Levi just about brought me to tears talking about your mothers. I've related so much to y'all in that moment. I'm currently listening to Jamie King and her talking about finding God in a bookstore almost brought me to tears. I paused it and started to write you this message because I had to let you know how much this means to me, and I'm sure to so many others. That actually just brought me to almost tears. Ryan's in the room, so I won't do it. I viewed most of these people as celebrities and not much more, but you have completely changed my view on so many of them. You have now made me a fan of them as people, not just for their work. Ain't that the truth, man? That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I appreciate what you're doing so much. I listen to so many other podcasts, and none has grabbed me like yours. I've also started listening to your new podcast with Sully, and currently going through a hard breakup. This has become the perfect time, and I find myself trying harder to better myself. I started going to therapy, and it's thanks to you. Sorry for such a long message, but I felt you should know how much you're appreciated. Thanks so much. P.S. Your podcast is way better than Dax's. I love Dax. He won't listen to this anyway. He doesn't have time. Tim, lastly. Hey, man, I don't know if you're actually going to read this, but thanks for doing this podcast and showing me that people that may seem to have it all have gone through hardships and tough times in their lives. The recent Dane Cook episode hit home when he spoke about the relationship he had with his father being basically all about sports. I too had the same type of relationship with my father until his untimely passing in January of this year. Unlike Dane's father, my dad was a Mets fan. That's funny. That's what my dad is and what I am. You and I both know how that 86 World Series turned out. Anyway, thanks for doing this podcast and making me feel comfortable in my own feelings and every now and then bringing a tear to my eye. All love, Tim. It's nice to read these, Ryan.
That's really nice.
It is. It's nice to just kind of like, this is about being present. It's like, that's why I wanted to start doing these outros of reading things that people say and absorbing them and saying, hey, I'm listening to you. you know, it makes me feel good that that we're doing something right here.
Yeah, it was really thoughtful.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So, guys, have a happy, happy holiday. If you're bored, you know, listen to Left on Laurel. Our CD's still out. It's been out for about a month now. Thank you for everybody who came out to the autograph signing in Covina at Chaos Records. Thank you for everybody who came out to the Roxy, who listened to the Stage It online performance from us. Thank you for buying merch, for listening to the band. Thank you for listening to the podcast, In Love podcast, Inside of You podcast. Thank you for your endless support. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Thank you for allowing me to be inside all of you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.